Oh, it's good to see all the big kids this morning. All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 30 and Matthew chapter 17. And here a few weeks ago, you know, I started a series about bizarre Bible stories and learning from them. And this week we're going to look at one and how this happened. About 2 weeks ago, I posted on social media on our church page of, you know, people telling me about a bizarre Bible story that they'd like to know more about. And the first one to post, of course, is someone that watches online faithfully every Sunday is my mom. And so she said, I want to know about the story in Matthew chapter 17 about Peter when he caught the fish. And I thought, man, that's a good one. You know, and I don't think I've ever done a message or a teaching on that. And so that's what we're going to learn about today. To understand Matthew 17, we're going to have to read Exodus 30 first here in just a second. But how many of you ever heard a fishy story? Right? Okay, we all have, right? And a fishy story is like an exaggerated tale, the kind fishermen might tell about the giant fish that got away. But a fishy story is a tale or an explanation that seems suspicious or unlikely to be true, but we use fish story more to mean something that sounds like a fib. And if you describe a situation as fishy, you feel that someone is not telling the truth or not being completely honest. And so I titled this The True Fish Story in Matthew chapter 17, because when we read this here in a little bit, it's the ultimate fish story. It sounds fishy, it's a fishy story, and it's definitely fishy, but it's a true fish story. So look at somebody and say, it's a true fish story. You're going to hear a true fish story today. And so when I was studying for this, I thought, you know what, I'm going to look up and see what are some of the funniest things, you know, that people have found in fish. And so I Googled that. It was pretty interesting. I had lots of different things come up. You ought to try that sometime, Google that, and you'll read to some pretty comical stories. But I think one of the best ones that I came across was this one. This one involved an Arkansas catfish angler whose name was James Price, who accidentally dropped his dentures into Bull Shoals Lake while he was fishing. Mr. Price never expected to get his chompers back, but 10 days later, he landed a 20-pound Bull Shoals catfish that had swallowed one of his dental plates. It's a true story. Robert Ripley found the story so intriguing that he included it in a 1951 Ripley's Believe It or Not column. So I thought that was pretty funny. All right, so there you go. All right, so if you go fishing and find dentures, now you know that it is a true story. Okay, go to Exodus chapter 30. We're going to look at verse 11 through 16. And this is instructions that the Lord gave to Moses about a tax for the tabernacle. Okay, so we're going to read this. It says, the Lord said to Moses, when you take the census of the people of Israel, then each shall give a ransom. Everybody say ransom. Yes. For his life to the Lord when you number them, that there may be no plague among them when you number them. Each one who is numbered in the census shall give this, half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel is 20 gerahs. Half a shekel as an offering to the Lord. Everyone who is numbered in the census from 20 years old, so you had to be 20, at least 20, and upward, shall give the Lord's offering. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than the half shekel when you give the Lord's offering to make atonement for your lives. You shall take the atonement money, everybody say the atonement money, from the people of Israel, and shall give it for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may bring the people of Israel to remembrance before the Lord, so as to make atonement for your lives. Okay, now we're going to go to Matthew chapter 17 now. So I want you to understand this. We're going to fast forward now to Matthew chapter 17 in the New Testament, and this tax is still going on in Jesus' day when he was here. And so this is in Matthew chapter 17, looking in verse 22. I'm going to read two scriptures before we get into this story. In verse 24, it says, as they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day. Everybody say he will be raised on the third day. Okay, there's a reason why I'm asking you to repeat all these things, because when you repeat them, you get them in your spirit, man. Okay? And they were greatly distressed. All the disciples were distressed when Jesus said that. And when they came to Capernaum, so you understand about Capernaum, that's where Peter's house was at. That's where basically they say that Jesus' ministry was based out of. That's where a lot of people came to. So it was a big, you know, a city, metropolis kind of area. It says the collectors of the two drachma tax, this is what we just read about in Exodus 30, went up to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the tax?" And he said, "Yes, he does." And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first. So say, Jesus spoke to him first. Saying, "What do you think, Simon? What do you think, Peter? From what do kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?" And when he said, "From others," Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free." Everybody say, "The sons are free." Then Jesus says, "However, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself. This is the only miracle recorded in Scripture that was done so that it wouldn't offend somebody." Okay? All right. Just food for thought a little bit, okay? So here's, we're going to go down through this. You know, this is expository teaching, all right? So what I'm going to do is go down through this story that we just read and expose this to all of us and how it fits into our lives, okay? Everybody ready to get exposed? Okay, all right, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this story. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to communicate it the way that you spoke it to my spirit, man. It's such a beautiful story of the gospel. It's such a beautiful story of the relationship that Jesus and Peter had as well. And so, Father, I just pray that we would, as we go through this story, God, that we would see the Father's love. God, open our eyes to see the Father's love in this story. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Okay, here's number one. Number one, the two drachma tax, Matthew 17, verse 24. He says that there's a two drachma tax. This is the same as a half shekel. So two drachmas equal the half shekel that we read about in the Old Testament. Okay, so now that we're in the New Testament. And so there's two things to know about this tax that we need to understand is the amount and the purpose of it, okay? In Moses' time, each person over the age of 20 was to give a half shekel offering, the equivalent of two Roman drachmas, and for the support of the tabernacle, what we just read in Exodus 30. If you study this out in Nehemiah, which I've done for you, by the way, when you study this out in Nehemiah, it became an annual tax. Okay, and this practice was still being observed some 1,500 years later in Jesus' day to maintain the temple. It's interesting to note this, and I'm just going to say this right now, because it says that none of the other disciples are mentioned in this story. And so I read one commentary that said that Jesus was over the age of 20. Probably Peter was too, because he said, "Pay this for me and yourself." The other disciples could have been from the ages of 15 to 19. Because back in the Jewish days, that the young people followed the rabbi. And they were usually, that started when they were in their teenage years. Youth ministry. Amen? Youth ministry right there. Okay. So just wanted to throw that out there, a little side note. The two drachma tax or temple tax could be made in person at the Passover festival in Jerusalem. But collections were made in other areas of Palestine and abroad a month earlier. And this incident takes place about a month before the Passover, or about a month before Jesus went to the cross for each one of us. So it was a Jewish tax. It wasn't a Roman tax. Okay, and it's fitting that Matthew, what was Matthew? A tax collector. That he shares this story. This story is only in his gospel. And in Matthew chapter 17, when you read Matthew chapter 17, you see that Jesus is transfigured. He's triumphant over a demon that was in a boy. And then he was taxed. Okay, it sounds like life, don't it? Transfigured, triumphant, and then you get taxed. All right. The tax amount. Is everybody awake? Okay. Everybody's awake. You're listening and you're learning. Okay. All right. Here we go. The tax amount. This is why it's so important. Everyone paid the same amount, whether you were rich or you were poor. It was the ultimate flat tax. Half a shekel in the Old Testament, two drachmas in the New Testament. The tax was roughly 2 days' wages. And so here's the tax purpose. The tax purpose of it was this. The monetary purpose for the tax was to support the upkeep in the ministry of the temple, but there was a spiritual purpose too. Exodus 30, verse 12 tells us it was a ransom tax. Everybody say a ransom tax. It was the atonement money, and it represented an offering making atonement for your life, and this is why everyone paid the same amount. It's kind of like the tithe, amen? Yeah. Bring the tithe, it's, you know, whether you're rich or poor, it's the same amount, and you're saying to God, you're not giving it out of obligation, you know, and even obedience, and I know you want to obey the God, but you should be giving it out of a heart of gratitude for all that God has saved you from, yes. Amen? Okay. So the rich were not to pay more, and the poor were not to pay less, because each person's life is worth the same. That's what the purpose of that tax was. One person's life is not more valuable than another person's. Romans 13, verse 7 says this. So this is the life principle of this. Pay to all who, so don't leave here and say, don't leave here today and say, Pastor Mark said we don't need to pay our taxes, okay? Because I'm not saying that. I wish we were tax exempt. I wish every one of us were. But Romans 13, 7 says, pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. So you got to pay up. Amen? Got to pay up. As Christians, and you can't use this, and I've heard Christians do this, well, my citizenship is in heaven. Well, here's the deal. You got dual citizenship. You're here. Where's your feet at? Right now, you're on planet Earth, so you got dual citizenship. Yes, you're a citizen of heaven, but you're also a citizen of this earth, so you've got to obey the laws of the land, and so you got to still pay your taxes, and the Bible says if you owe something, pay it, and everybody said amen. So don't leave here today and say Pastor Mark said we're tax exempt. We're not, okay? All right, here's number two. Jesus spoke to Peter first. These are just things that jumped out to me when I was reading this and studying this and asking the Holy Spirit, saying, Holy Spirit, reveal what Jesus and what's this dialogue between Jesus and Peter. How many of you ever watched The Chosen? Oh God, and I encourage you to watch that series if you haven't, because the writer of it is, and I don't care, you'll hear all kinds, well, it doesn't follow the King James Version. Oh, shut up. I'm sorry. I got to say it. Here's the deal. It's scripture, and they're telling the story, and they'll connect dots in there with, and it's beautiful. I've just sat there and watched it and weep, you know, how they tell the story, and I'm gonna do my own little Chosen, like I'm the director here in just a little bit. I wanted to make that plug. So Jesus spoke to him first. So this is so good, guys. Some of you came to church just to hear this today. I promise you. Matthew 6, 8 says, your Father knows what you need before you even ask Him. Because He came in, Jesus, or Peter was coming into the house where Peter was at, probably in Peter's house, where Jesus stayed at when he was in Capernaum. And he was coming back in there to tell Jesus, hey, well, you know what? So he came to my front door, the tax collectors. And so I told him that we do pay that, so Jesus, what are we going to do? And Jesus spoke to him first. Didn't let him get the question out. He didn't get to ask it. Jesus said, you know what, Peter, here's what we're going to do. He had him that little riddle. We'll talk about that here in just a second. So Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. If you have a need today, whether it's financially, whether it's in your body, whether it's a relationship, whatever it is, God knows before you even ask him, but he wants you to ask because he wants a relationship with you. And that's the dialogue that he wants. And I promise you, he already knows and he wants to help you. Now everybody said, all right, here's number three. The sons are free. Look at somebody and say, you're free.
You're free.
So Jesus does this little riddle with Peter when he comes in after he already knows what's going on. He knows who's at the door because he's God Almighty in the flesh. And he says this in verse 25 and 26. So Peter answered and said, yes. And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their own family or from other people? I'm just going to paraphrase that. And Peter said, from others. And Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. But I'm going to try to say this another way. That temple was God's house. And Jesus was saying, I'm the son, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm tax exempt. I don't have to pay that tax, but we're going to anyway. He says that a little bit later. And then he says, you know what? My whole family is tax exempt. So that's why Jesus said, I want you, got to catch this. He doesn't say the son, one singular, is free. He says the sons are free. All of us. That includes the whole family of God. Ladies, that includes you. If I got to be called the bride of Christ, you can be called sons too. Amen? All right? So that's what he's talking about. So the sons are free. And there's just like this. So here, I'm trying to get in this story like the chosen guy does. Okay, in Matthew 16, when you read Matthew chapter 16, that's when Peter said, when Jesus asked him, who does everybody say that I am? They're all talking about, you know, your prophet Elijah, come back in the flesh, all this stuff. And Peter had the revelation from his father, from the Father, and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, my Father revealed that to you. And right here, Jesus is revealing even more to him right here in this story, just one chapter later in Matthew chapter 17. That just gave me chicken skin right there, guys. I hope that's doing it to you too. I just love the Word of God. But here's the thing about God. Job 41 verse 11. God says, who is first given to me that I should repay him? Whatever is under the whole heaven is mine. Psalms 24 verse 1. The earth is Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. You can't tax God. Amen? Can't tax his sons either. Luke 2 verse 49. Jesus said when he was a child, he's probably about 12 right now at this time, and it says he said to them, to his parents, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? He was in the temple when his family found him. And so Jesus is the Son of God. He is tax exempt. He's sharing that with Peter. Peter, I'm tax exempt, and all of my family is tax exempt. Okay. Romans 8, verses 15 through 17. This is why I had Taya sing, we're no longer slaves. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Here's the deal. When you walk with the Lord, this is a journey. When you walk with the Lord, there's going to be good times and there's going to be bad times. And you've got to stay faithful. Yes. And everybody said, and he's going to be faithful to you. Here's the bottom line, what I'm trying to say through all this. And I hope you're starting, the dots are starting to come together. Here's the bottom line. We all owe God a ransom tax. Every one of us in here. We all owe God payment for our sins. But when you become a son of the King, you also become exempt. You share in Jesus' exemption with him. So good. All right, here's number four. Don't give offense. Jesus is telling Peter, we're tax exempt. He didn't say, Peter, go out there and tell him we're tax exempt because I am the Son of God. I'm not paying the tax in my own house. Not doing it. And you're not either because you're a son. Jesus said, I'm not going to cause a big stir over this. We're not going to give any offense, Peter, in this situation. Now, I want you also to notice something else. Peter didn't reach in his own pocket to pay it. Jesus didn't even reach in his pocket to pay it. I don't know if they had pockets back then or what they had. You know, you see those robes, but maybe there was some pockets on the robes. You know, my rabbit brain, right? You know, squirrel right then. Okay. They didn't do that. And he didn't say, hey, go, let's write a ticket out for an expense account and go get with Judas because we got to pay a tax. He didn't say that either. There's a reason why I'm saying that. 1 Corinthians, don't give an offense. Guys, this is so important, especially in the day and hour that we're living in. And I'm not saying that we don't stand up for the truth, but it's the way that we do it. When we stand up for the truth, it has to be done in love and with the grace of God. Love and truth go together. Yes. All right? If you just have truth, you push people away from the Lord. If you just have love, you know, it's just that sloppy agape is what I call it. You know, you're not getting people lined up with the Word. You got to have love and truth together. Jesus was full of grace and truth. He is our role model. He's who we want to be in the earth. That's who we're representing. So this is so important in this hour because many, Even Christians, a lot of people's love is waxing cold. So then, and they know Scripture, so their love is waxing cold. This is the last days. That's part of the last days, is our love waxing cold. That's happening in the church. And so when you know Scripture and your love is waxing cold, you can just beat somebody up. And then they're like, I'm done with church. I'm never coming back.
Yeah.
Amen? Well, we've all seen that. If you've been in church for any length of time, you've seen that. You've got to have love and truth working together. So don't give offense. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 23 through 24. Before I even say that, I just thought of something. Is I had a Zoom call last week with the pastor's friends of mine, and one of the pastors was talking about how he stood up and he gave a message in his church, and he did it in love and grace. And there's guys, the gospel, the word of God offends people because this is the absolute truth, okay? And everybody else around the world is trying to find their own truth and saying that, you just live your truth, this is the truth. And he stood up on the word of God, and he said, I delivered a message that, and I've even said this from this pulpit. He said, I delivered a message what a male and a female was, and that there's only two genders that God created. And he said, did you know what? I had people leave my church because they're Christians, and they're people that come into church because they believe what the world is saying. It's sad, guys. So when you stand up for the truth, and even when you speak it in love, it's going to offend people. It still offends people. Okay. All right, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 23 through 24. It says, all things are lawful. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Jesus, in this situation, I'm just going to say this, was not thinking about himself. He was thinking, if I don't pay this tax, that's going to cause them to look at me and look at my father in a derogatory way. Mm-hmm. Even though I don't have to pay it. And he could have put his foot down and said, I'm the son. I'm exempt. In fact, I'll do a miracle for you just to prove that I am. He didn't do any of that. He put all that aside, love put all that aside, and was thinking about other people. He wasn't even thinking about himself. Okay, here's the... This is a big one. This don't... Get offended. Don't be an offense. I love what Billy Graham said. I wrote down some quotes that I came across. We are the Bibles the world is reading. And we are.
Yes.
And it's not just on Sunday morning, guys. It's Monday through Saturday, wherever you're at. Work, family, wherever. Unless a life is lived for others, it's not worthwhile. That's what Mother Teresa said. Really good. This last one. When the world asks, what is God like? We should be able to say, look at the church. OMG. Yeah. We're not, the church right now is not looking too good.
Nope.
The church at large, the big C. People are looking at us and like, what in the world is going on there? It's no different in the world. In fact, I think it's worse than the world. That's what people are saying when they look at the church. Okay, here's another one. Treating people right is better than posting Bible verses every day that you don't even practice. If we would just love people instead of posting scriptures all the time, just love people and treat people right, we could do a whole lot more evangelism doing that.
Yes.
Amen? Okay. This is something I talked about this week, and so I just wanted to put it in there. John 13, verses 34 through 35. This is Jesus, and he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you speak in tongues, if you do signs, wonders, and miracles. Jesus didn't say that. He said, if you have love for one another.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, in these last days, yes, there's going to be an outpouring of the Spirit of God. There's going to be signs, wonders, and miracles, but they're all going to be done in love. The one thing that people are going to be drawn to the house of God for in these last days is because those people really do love each other. I don't know how it's going to happen, how God's going to cause us to start loving each other, but he is. Now, I'm not talking just this shallow, you know. You need to have some disciples in your life that you know. You know the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I look around the room here, and there's some in here that I consider disciples. And I know the good, the bad, and the ugly about them. But you know what love does? Love covers a multitude of sins.
Yes.
Love doesn't expose. Amen? Mark, I'm going to use you an example real quick. I'm sorry. I should have called you. But Mark and I were talking this week about this, and something Mark said to me that really ministered to me. Because I want us all to walk in this. Because what he's walked through, most of you in here know what he's walked through, what happened, and stuff. But he thanked me, not just as a friend. We grew up together, graduated together. But as his pastor, he said, thank you for not removing me from worship or telling me that I had to step down for a season. And the reason why I didn't is because the man is repentant. And it's something that happened B.C. days before Christ that got brought back up. And in no way am I going to say, you get out of here. You know, we can't have you're tainting the name of Harvest Fellowship Church. Get out. That is not the New Testament church. And I'm sorry, but right now there's a lot of churches doing that. And we're supposed to, as the body of Christ, we're supposed to cover a multitude of sins. Yeah, there's consequences. Mark's went through his consequences.
Yes.
Still is. And he's repentant. And he's saved. And guys, that's the gospel, when we can really love people through things.
Yes.
That's the true gospel of Jesus Christ. That's covering sins. That's helping people. I want this church to be that in these last days. I want this to be a beacon of love. Like, if you go to that church, you're going to feel love. You're going to be love no matter what you're going through. And thankfully, I've heard that from a lot of guests that's come here. You know, we just feel the love of God. And I was like, praise God, that's our prayer,
yeah.
You know. Because love is the number one thing. Love never fails. All right, here's the next thing. Go to the sea. I love this. Jesus says, just go to the sea and catch a fish, Peter. When he come to him about this need for the tax. Now, here's the deal. I'm going to get into my chosen director mode here, okay? Because when I was studying this, I just kept going back to that. I said, Jesus, you just looked at Peter and said, just go to the sea and go catch a fish. And I just kept meditating on that. I've been meditating on it all week. You know, and just like, Lord, why? You know, what was going through your mind when you said that to Peter? You know, because you didn't cough up the money. You didn't say, go to Judas. And you didn't say, Peter, how much change you got in your pocket? Can you take care of it? You know, he didn't do any of that. He just looks at Peter. And I just saw this in my spirit. Just Peter with a smile on his face and just, or Jesus with a smile on his face, looked at Peter and said, just go to the sea and catch a fish, buddy. And God's going to, my Father's going to take care of it. And so when that happened, the way this picture came up to me in this situation, and if I could write this in The Chosen, I'd tell them to do it this way. Now, they may have done it another way. I need to watch this part if they put that in there. But when he came to him and he said that, and he said, go to the sea and catch a fish, I think Jesus saw the Father saying, okay, you remember that time, you remember the time in Scripture when you first met Peter, you know? You remember the time when you first met Peter and he was in his boat and he'd been out fishing all night and he hadn't caught anything, and you told him to kick on out from the shore and we're going to cast down our nets, and he looked at you and said, you know what, Jesus, we've been out here all night long. I'm a professional fisherman, by the way. You know, I've got my, not seriously, he was. Peter was a professional fisherman. By the way, in the Scripture teaches us this, he not only had one boat, he had a fleet of boats. So Peter was a wealthy dude. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I believe that Peter, he had a business, and that was part of the deals back there. They'd go catch fish, bring it to the marketplace, all those kind of things. So Peter has this successful fishing business. He's a successful fisherman. He knows where fish are at. He knows all the things about fishing. And when Jesus tells him this, he just goes, Jesus, we've been out there all night, and we haven't caught anything. But Peter, being a wise man, said, but at your word, we're going to go back out there. So he goes back out there and he catches a multitude of fish. You know the story. The boat's about to sink. He's got to call in these other fleets of boats to come in and help him. And then it says this about Peter. This was the first time that I believe that in Peter's heart it began to, this is the Son of God. Because everybody's asking, is this him? Is this really him? Is he the Messiah? And when that happened to Peter, the Bible says that Peter fell on his knees in that boat and said, you are the Son of God. That's when it happened with Peter, that moment. And so this is going all through Jesus' mind. Yeah, Dad. Yeah, Father. Okay, can I say Dad? Can you? That's the relationship they had. Yeah, I remember that story when I talked to Peter and that all happened. Then he started following me after that. God, this is good. He goes, the Father tells Jesus, this is how I'm seeing it, my spirit, says, go tell him to go fishing. I sent you fishing with him one day. I want to go fishing with him. The Father.
Yes.
So they go goes to the lake, and he says, I don't want you to cast out a net. I want you to just cast out one line, one hook, and you're going to catch one fish. And that fish, don't ask me how all this happens, but that only the Father can do that, is he's going to have a coin in his mouth, and it's going to take care of you and my son Jesus. So Peter is the guy that went fishing with the Father. He not only went fishing with Jesus, he also got to go fishing with the Father.
Yes.
Golly, that's good. Here's another deal about something I looked up because I was like, what kind of fish did he catch? You know, what kind of fish was that? You know, that's where my mind goes, squirrel. What kind of fish was it, God? And all I know is when I looked up, I was Googling all this, there's a fish that's called St. Peter's fish, which is the tilapia. I don't know if that was it or not. Could have been. I don't know. But here's the deal, guys. And the other thing that Jesus said was, by the way, do you like my chosen story? My chosen version? Okay. So when that happened, what Jesus told him to do and what the Father told him to do, and I want you to notice something about Peter. He doesn't say, I got to go back fishing again. Right? Okay. He doesn't say, I've been out there all night. He's obedient. Tells us we need to be obedient when God tells us to do something. Even now, I don't care how crazy it sounds, okay? Because I'm telling you, in Peter's mind, that sounded cray-cray.
Yeah.
Go to sea and go fishing. You're going to catch a fish with a coin in its mouth, Peter. Oh, okay. Right, and it happens. The one thing that he told him to do was go fishing, okay? Well, that was what Peter did for a living. And I'm going to tell you, all of us in here, this right now, God wants to be involved in your everyday life. There's so many Christians that are just living for God and talking to God on Sunday morning, but God wants to be involved in your home life, your marriage, your family. He wants to be involved in your work. He wants you to talk to him all the time. You know, present, you know, he just wants, and God wants to be involved in that. I had somebody tell me one time, because I have on my answer machine, you know, God bless or whatever. And I had a lady tell me one time, because I was still in real estate, she said, you know what, you really need to keep your business life separated from your faith life. She literally told me that. She goes, because when you say God bless on your, I'm serious, this happened to me. When you say God bless on your answer machine, on your phone, on your business phone, that really turns a lot of people off and offends a lot of people. And I said, I don't care. You know, if it does, then it does, because it's coming from a true heart for me. I want God to bless him.
Yes.
You know, and here's the other thing, ma'am, is God is with me 24/7, 7 days a week, and I want him in yes. He is my business partner. I actually listen to him, and he leads me.
Yes.
And we're involved in everything that we do. And there's so many people today that even in the church, guys, even Christians, they're trying to separate their Christian life from the other life.
Yes.
I sit down when I went to church in Elk City one time, I sat down with a guy and I said, hey, wanting to come to work here, work for you. And he basically told me in a roundabout way, I'm different here than I am on Sunday.
Oh.
And I'm like, wow.
Yeah,
that's good to know. That is good to know. Yeah. May not want to work here. Probably shouldn't have. I had to at that time because I needed a job. But there was red flags all over that. You know, because guys, God wants to be involved in every area of our lives. You can't separate this.
Yes.
If you do, then I question your salvation.
Yes.
Amen. Because God wants to be involved in everything that you do. So here's the scripture, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Yes.
And it's significant in this story that there is one shekel, which is a 4-drachma coin. Not a 2-drachma, because a half shekel equals two drachma. Full shekel equals 4-drachma coin in the fish's mouth instead of the 2-drachma coins. Peter's payment is, listen to this, guys, this is so good. Peter's payment is united with Jesus' payment, and the two are paid together. And when you trust in Christ and you put your faith in him, you're united with him in his death and you're united with him in his resurrection.
Yes.
I love it. In summary today, and I've got one more point, okay? Because I got two closings. But here's the, in summary of what we just studied here in Matthew chapter 17 this morning, it carries prophetic meaning through Jesus' identity as the Son of God and his provision for his followers. He even revealed more to Peter that I am the Son of God through this story. Our identities as sons and daughters in Christ are in this story. The importance of obedience, trust, and faith in God's word. Go to the sea and go fishing. That's what he did. He didn't question it. It encourages us to live in the freedom and grace found in Christ, trusting in his divine provision and being mindful of our conduct towards others in our Christian walk. It's all packaged in just a few verses right there. When I first read the first two scriptures, Matthew 17, verses 22 through 23, when Jesus tells him that he's going to Jerusalem to die and be raised again on the third day, this is number six. Jesus rose again on the third day. And so I want you to remember, Matthew is writing this after the cross, after the resurrection. Matthew writes this story to us. So in verses 22 through 23, Jesus shared about his suffering and his death on the cross in Jerusalem. And so it's appropriate that Matthew shares the story about the temple tax because Jesus did suffer and die on the cross to make atonement for our sins in fulfillment of the temple sacrifices for which the tax went to pay. And here, this is the good news, guys. Jesus paid our ransom tax.
Yes.
And he paid it in full. Mark 10, verse 45 says this. Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man comes not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." The good news is this today, guys. Jesus paid our ransom money, and we are the temple of God now.
Yes.
That's it. That is so awesome. So there's your true fish story out of Matthew chapter 17. God is good. And all the time, God, I'm telling you, the gospel is such the most beautiful story. And it's amazing to me how it's all through Scripture.
Yes.
That God, when you really get in it and study it, that gospel message, that love story with God, with his people is all through here. Tay, will you come for just a second, babe? And I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I just want to make sure that I do this every Sunday. And just want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And those that are watching online and listening online, those that listen to this on the radio as well, just want to make sure that everyone knows Jesus. And I just want to lead you in a prayer because the Bible's very specific and it's simple and specific how you do it. He says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I remember I was just thinking about this week. The story of the thief on the cross, he didn't even say, "Save me." He just said, "Remember me." He was like, "I don't even know if I'm worth saving, Jesus. I hope you just remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "You know what, bud? Today you're going to be with me in paradise." And so I want to lead you in this prayer of calling on the name of Jesus. And I know there's people here that are saved, and so they're going to say this prayer with you. And so you can just repeat this prayer with me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me." And everybody said, "Amen." And if you're here today, and I'm just going to tell you this, if you're here today and you have any kind of need, the Lord already knows what it is before you even ask, okay? But he does want you to ask because he wants to have that relationship with you. So if you have that, I just want you to know, anytime you just call upon the Lord, okay? You know, I love JW, comes up, you know, almost every Sunday and prays for rain. You know, so we've had a blessed summer around here. And I was just encouraging him, and Dad encouraged him last Sunday, and he came up here this morning and prayed for rain. And it just encouraged me that childlike faith. Yeah. And he's growing up. And I told him today up here, I said, you know what, JW, you're praying this, but you know what, you're going to teach your little sister how to do this, but you're also going to teach your friends and other people around you that, hey, if you got a need, just call upon the Lord. You know, he's our little rain man around here. Awesome. All right, I want everybody to stand up. Everybody to stand up. And I'm going to speak a blessing over you guys, okay? If you have your loved ones there next to you, I want you to grab hands with them. My loved one's coming. And we're going to speak this blessing over you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. And may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Go fishing.